Remember, I remember being at the beginning of Morgan's campaign trail. It was very strange.
Yeah, he started at day one of 2000 trees and then...
Day three.
I wonder if we can get him as Prime Minister by the end of the day.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 214 somehow of Sapnin Podcast featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. I'm a permanent rainbow, he's the evil one, and while we live in a sick, sad world, this episode is designed to make you laugh in our last podcast of 2022.
Woo! Yes, this week's guest is M. Foster of Nervous and formerly Milk Teeth. This was a fantastic, fantastic chat that we got to do back live at 2000 Trees Festival.
Yes, this was recorded live at 2000 Trees this past summer as part of our series of stage podcast shows. We opened up the Word stage every morning at 10 a.m. and brought some chaos to the event before any of the bands had even started. And really, the element of live podcasts has been one of our highlights of 2022, and it's been a year full of some ridiculous stuff.
I can't believe that we finally done live podcasts, and we did quite a bloody few of them this year, with doing three at 2000 Trees. Was it two? Did we do two at Download? What, just the one, was it? Oh, yeah, because we did a little bit and then we had guests on. Yeah. In my mind, I saw it as two, because it was two nerve-wracking things that we had to do.
But we also did a DJ set at Download Festival. We've done stuff where we've invaded pop culture guests and had comedians on. We've had some of the biggest stars from RuPaul's Drag Race. We've been invited to WWE events. We've had exclusives. It's all been going on. It's being overall a really nice year for the podcast, I would say.
Yes, it is. And as you are listening to this, if you were listening to this on Friday, December the 30th, it was my birthday yesterday as well. Woo! So, woohoo, happy birthday, me. I'm 21 at last. I can finally drink in America.
Woohoo! Hey! What are you going to do now that you're finally above the law?
I don't know, slink off into the mist. I have no idea. Too old now. I'm too fucking old for this shit.
But you might remember M's previous appearances on the podcast as part of Milk Teeth before they departed in 2020. We've always had ridiculous laughs with her, and adding a live crowd to the equation just made everything better. For those of you who are not aware, Nervous are an alt-punk band hailing from Watford who have never shied away from the complex issues and alt-punk anthems. Their new album, The Evil One, is available now. That was released back in June. I've seen a lot of punk outlets list it as one of their top albums of the year, so I'd really recommend that. And throughout this conversation, we talk about everything from getting into trouble at festivals, playing gigs in restaurants, different projects, the end of Milk Teeth, weird dressing room antics, touring with Joey Jordison of Slipknot the day he got kicked out, And I say my best / worst puns, and the reaction from the crowd itself makes my whole life. So it's a really good laugh.
Yes, I love having Em on. Every time she's been on has been hilarious and really informative. And yeah, love having them on. And hopefully we can do another one again soon. If you enjoy this, check us out on patreon.com/sapling, which is the device that keeps this podcast going. because God knows the advertising money is absolutely terrible. But anyway, check out patreon.com/sapling. Also, get in touch with us at sapningpod, at SAPPENINPOD on Twitter, Instagram, and fucking, you can try TikTok, but God knows, because I don't fucking check it anymore. I had one hit wonder, now I'm out, I've disappeared. I'm like a fucking magician. Turned up, had a 2.2 million viewed fucking video, and I was like, right, completed that, what's next? So yeah, get in touch with us at Sapling Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and again, you could try TikTok, but who the fuck cares?
Oh, but anyway, here is M. Foster of Nervous live at 2000 Trees Festival 2022 with Uts Idiots and a live crowd.
Who'd have thought that would have ever happened? Well, they fucking have. And hopefully there'll be more to come in 2023. So if you're a promoter and you wanna fucking book us to come and have a chat and see if anybody will turn up, get in touch with us. At Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all that shit again. Anyway, fucking Sapling!
Sapling!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Sapling. That's it. Thank you very much. Wow. Thank you very much for being here. Good sign at the front that says Boris out, Morgan in.
I'm in. I'm swap, in already.
Swap one fucking moron for another. Imagine how bad that would be, you as Prime Minister.
Oh, that'd be quite cool. I've never thought of that. That'd be quite nice, actually.
Jimmy, eat world tickets for everyone. Fucking hell. But yeah, thank you very much for being here. We are Sean and...
Morgan.
There you go. I didn't forget. I wanted him to... honest, we've been doing this long enough now that I could never fucking forget. Thank you very much for being here. Sapling and hola.
Yes. I know it's early. It's really early.
Very too early.
So you're all very brave for coming. But yeah, we're gonna have a laugh. We're here every morning, by the way. So if you're here for the whole weekend, come see us 10 a.m. bright and early. Best way to start your day, of course.
I look forward to you not being here tomorrow. So shit. Yeah, we gotta keep people coming back, haven't we? Fuck.
I forgot about it. Yeah, Saturday is literally going to be me, you, and the guest.
Yeah, maybe, if that.
Oh, shit. But yeah, again, thank you very, very much for being here. If this is your first outing? No, not outing. Your first...
time, experience.
Experience with Sapnin Podcast. Basically, I used to be in a band that did surprisingly well for such a bad band. Woo! Woo! And then everybody seemed to realize the same time. I went, oh, no, they are dog shit. And then I thought, well... my ego is still massive. How can I get attention back to me? I know, I'll start a podcast because I've been allowed to do things that I shouldn't have been allowed to do. So, and meet very, very interesting people that I shouldn't have been allowed near. And so, yeah, I decided to start a podcast. I got my friend from Radio Cardiff.
Oh, wow. Throwback.
Who I thought had all of the gear and all of the idea. Wrong. But yeah, we've sussed it out. We've done 188 weeks in a row now of the fucking podcast.
Thank you. It's been a lot of stress. But we're here. But no, we're just going to have a laugh. As Sean said, he's got experience from being in bands and stuff. I've been a journalist for almost 10 years now, somehow.
He's got a degree.
I've got a degree. I have a very expensive piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's very expensive.
You wasted money on a piece of paper that tells him he's a journalist when he was already a journalist.
Yeah. But if anyone asks...
Morgan in.
Yes!
Oh, fuck, it's happening! Oh, no! Imagine that by Saturday, everyone's got a fucking T-shirt of Morgan. Morgan for Prime Minister!
I am down for that.
I'm not fucking down for that in any way, shape, or form.
Are you down with the sickness?
Boris.
Right, anyway, who's excited for some live music today? Who's excited for Jimmy Eat World? The answer's me. Who's excited for Holden Absence? Who's excited?
I love... Yes, come and see Sammy Podcast Live, where they'll name all the bands on the festival! Somebody get a fucking sheet of who's playing then, because...
Creeper! Woo! Raiders, tomorrow.
Woo! Oh, there's a... Oh, yeah, fuck. Shit. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, remember the band thing I said that was terrible and we got found out? I've started another one, right? But you haven't found out. You'll find out tomorrow, 12 o'clock on the Cave stage. We're playing there. Come and have a look. It'll be fun or awful. So, yeah, come and check it out. Yes. Yeah.
Isn't it great people can see how professional this actually is?
Yeah. This is exactly how it is. Like when we meet bands, it's exactly how it is. I used to be in a shit. If you don't know, yeah, I used to be in a shit band and nobody cares about. And here we are. So, yeah. Again, thank you very much for being here. I didn't expect anyone. So, the fact that there's more than 7 people here is nuts. And the fact that some of you lazy bastards have got free chairs as well, that's class. That's class. I wish I was out there doing it. Oh, can I do it from out there? I could do it from
out
there.
You could, but then...
I have to look at you.
Yeah, no one wants that.
No.
Right, anyway, enough about us. Should we have a guest?
No.
No?
Nah, go on then.
Okay.
Go on.
So, of course, today on the main stage, Nervous will be performing.
Woo!
So joining us now is the wonderful M. Foster.
Woo! Personalised deck chair.
That's pretty cool.
Oh.
Fucking hell.
Nice. It's weird being down this low, but on a... Like, what's the point in that fucking... I'm not really good with sizes, as you're about to find out. That's 6 inches of stage. What's the point? Like, just put us on the floor.
I didn't want to have to hold the mic because I like the idea of the mic stand, but it might look a bit...
It does look a bit, yeah. That's what I thought. I was like, should I just have a pole just in my face for the whole thing? And probably would have been better for you guys, to be honest. But
anyway, Sapnin.
Sapnin.
Hey!
So, Em, you are playing the main stage today, back at 2000 Trees Festival. It's a festival you love very, very much.
It is, actually.
How's it like being back? I'm sure it's been great just to walk around the fields again after the last couple of years.
Well, actually, I haven't walked around the fields yet because I literally just got out of the car.
But that's our fault. Sorry for that.
I can't wait to walk around the fields, though.
Yeah. apologies for having you up so early as well.
Yeah, really early.
No, it's great. I literally have nothing else to do.
Oh, good. So, yes. If that isn't like the tagline for Sapnin, yeah. I had fuck all else to do. These boys offered us a chat. We thought some knob might listen to it. Or unless you're Dougie from McFly, who did an episode of the podcast. He mentioned on the podcast that McFly had recorded new music, but hadn't mentioned it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And then it went like fucking viral on the Sun newspaper. Boo.
Christ.
Nice. They picked it up, and then Harry from McFly went on TV and said, oh yeah, Dougie McFly did a podcast he thought nobody would listen to.
That's us.
And he went fucking viral. It went viral. Like, he was like, nobody's gonna listen to these two silly Welsh cunts. Ha-ha! Some knob did. And then grassed you up. So yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry for asking you this early. Yeah.
No, it's perfect.
We appreciate it, though.
What time are you on today?
12.
Nice. Right, after this end, we fucking run over to the main stage together, all holding hands, and we get ready for Nervous.
Yeah.
I'm very much up for that.
I'll lead you.
Yes! Like the Pied Piper?
Yeah, like some horrible Pied Piper.
But what does 2,000 Trees mean to you? As I mentioned, this is a festival you do really love a lot in your heart.
I think what I love about Trees is that it gives people in bands like mine a chance to play on stage. We don't have a booking agent or anything, right? So there's not many festivals that will take a chance on a band that don't have a booking agent. So being able to play at a festival of this size in front of so many people who clearly love music is an opportunity that bands like us don't often get. And I think that's what I love most about 2,000 Trees.
Nice. Well, how do you go about getting booked then without having a book? Is that like James comes to you?
Do you know what? I don't know. It just keeps happening.
Magic! Magic!
I'm not very good at saying no.
I think we're on a 12. And, we haven't been announced. We've just turned up every year and we seem to be playing.
We put our email online like a while ago and then people keep finding it. So.
That's class, yeah.
Better than nothing.
Can you rent Nervous for anything? Like birthday parties, bar mitzvahs?
Pretty much if we're available.
Funerals?
Yes.
Yeah. What about the death
kebab shops?
Oh, nice. The what? The opening or just any
kebab
shop?
I've never played a kebab shop before. I've played two Indian restaurants, though.
You fucking what?
Like opening or just like...
Cafe Monsoon in St. Albans and the Spice Lounge also in St. Albans.
No. I didn't need the name.
No.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm just lending my claims some kind of credibility.
I noticed...
How? What? Why?
Well, I noticed they didn't get a cheer for the Indian restaurants. So if we invoice them now...
Oh, nice.
So always
free advertising.
Clever boy. Always thinking ahead, me.
That's fucking... Yes.
That's why I'm here.
That's six quid each. Anyway.
But that kind of process must be different because you have been in bands with booking agents and stuff like that in the past.
Yeah.
So I'm sure just kind of... when it must feel a bit more organic this way when you have the kind of organisers for a festival like this come to you directly.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely feels like people care, which is nice. But yeah, I think like having the concert, I think partly through being on Big Scary Monsters, and there's like a whole community of people around this festival who all kind of know each other, and all the bands kind of know each other as well. So it just seems like a big mates fest.
Yeah.
And nice. So it's awesome to play.
So while we start, being at Trees, I know that there's a story that you got told off last time you played here. Can you elaborate on that?
Ooh. Well, ooh. I thought it would be fun at the end of our set. I can't remember what stage we were at. I think it was maybe the Axiom. And we were playing and it was like, everyone just come and join us on stage. But when I said everyone, I didn't really mean everyone. But
I said the wrong words! Shit! I said the wrong sentence.
But so many people got on the stage that the stage was kind of bowing under the pressure of all the people on the stage.
Oh, good Lord.
And I was like, I know I've just said, can everyone get on stage? And then I think I followed that up with, there's only two security, they can't stop you.
And they didn't.
Just after I said, thanks so much to the security, I think.
Wow.
And the stage manager, Dave, who was very patient with me afterwards, just looked absolutely furious and looked like he was trying to stop a leak that could not be stopped.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
And then my guitar cut out because someone was jumping up and down on my pedal board. So I played myself really as well.
So that, come up here and ruin our gig. Everybody on stage and ruin our gig. Unbelievable.
Is that the like most wrong a set has gone?
No.
I love it. I love hearing stories of when band sets go wrong because it's happened to me so many times.
If you care to share any.
Please.
Well, usually it's because I used to only have one guitar, and if I ever broke a string, I'd have to borrow a guitar. Yeah. And usually whatever guitar I was borrowing was worse than mine. So that happens. That's why I've got to go and restring my second guitar before we play, because otherwise it's going to be
the fuck
disaster.
Are you doing this for now? Get out there.
Well, I thought I'd bring my guitar and restring. It'd be like, you know, green room chat, someone restringing, someone eating hummus.
Nice.
That's it.
Hummus is in a lot of dressing rooms. I've noticed that over the years.
It's the standard. It's just a dressing room standard now, I think, hummus.
Yeah, it's not green M&Ms.
No.
It's hummus.
Yeah. And in Europe, it's sweaty meats.
Yeah, sweaty meats that have been sat on the table since probably the night
before.
Could
be anything. Could be horse.
I think I actually got to a point with the pandemic where I ended up feeling like I really missed hummus and started buying myself riders and sitting in the corner of my house with the window open and some really bad music on to try and recreate the experience of touring.
Shouting, does anybody know the fucking Wi-Fi cord? Does anybody know the Wi-Fi cord?
Yeah, pretty much.
Where's my TM? I need a Wi-Fi cord.
Yeah, and then I just go and sleep in a travelodge.
Yeah, go outside, sleep in the van. You've got a perfectly good house, but you can't get used to not sleeping in a van. What's the craziest thing you've seen at the festival?
Ooh.
The craziest thing I've seen at the festival was actually in 2004 at Download, where someone scaled the middle pole during Slayer and then jumped off into the crowd, thinking it was going to be a big, cool stage dive, and then broke both of his legs.
Oh!
Yes!
That's a good turn.
Fucking idiot. Good.
But we saw him. He came back walking around in two casts with crutches.
Just doing handstands everywhere.
Yeah. So that was the craziest thing.
They came back! Wait! So they broke their legs at the festival. Surely they got taken away to a hospital.
Yeah.
And then he cast it up
and then came back.
And came back.
That's commitment.
Isn't that's it? Fucking that dedication is. To that. Do you know what? I was happy at first when you said they broke both their legs. I'm sad now because of how much dedication they had to metal. So I think we should all just take a moment to clap that one person. That's got to be the politest clap for anything involving Slayer I've ever seen. Oh, yes, well done, Slayer fan. Well done. Both legs. Hilarious.
Yeah.
What about you, Morg? Have you seen any mad shit?
Oh, my favourite is 2000 Trees a few years ago refused headlined. Somehow, I was on side of the stage and watching. Now, that's not a brag. I'm just painting the picture.
I was on the side of the stage where I couldn't hear a fucking thing and it sounded awful, yeah, but the people could see me.
The Instagram photo was great.
So and you tweeted saying, smashing it, so proud of my boys.
So proud of my boys.
But looking out to the crowd, all I could see was a gazebo being crowd surfed through the crowd to the front of the stage, which I thought was interesting.
That's good, yeah.
You've literally seen a man rub shit on himself on stage.
I did, yeah. Read in 2002, I believe, Dillinger's Escape Plan.
A classic.
Yeah.
A classic moment in rock history.
I thought Mike Patton was going to be fronting him because they just brought an EP out with him. And I was like, they're going to be on the main stage because Mike Patton's fronting him. One of my favourite frontmen of all time. I can't fucking wait. And I turned up and he wasn't there. And I was like, oh. And then all of a sudden the singer dropped his trousers on the middle of the stage at about 12 o'clock. The camera, because, you know, they got the screens either side. They zoomed in, right? I'll do the mime.
Oh, here we go.
He drops trow, right, like you do. Squats down, like that. They zoom the camera, like, you could nearly see into him, right? He then curls one down, right? He curls one down and pinches one off, right? In a bag. Then picks it up and goes, every band on after us today is this, a bag of shit. Right? Slipknot were on after them, mate.
But that's what they like.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he threw the bag of shit into the... I'm surprising it, but this is our finale, right? I'm going to do this. He throws the bag of shit into the crowd, right? They throw the bag of shit back. You think, oh, it's ended here, surely. No, no. He rips open the freshly wrapped up bag of shit, smears it on his body, and then jumps into the crowd. So that's a reminder, 12 o'clock tomorrow at the Cave Stage, Raiders are playing. I'm going to have a curry tonight.
Oh.
We couldn't afford pyro or get clearance for it, so I'm going to do Shiro, right? On my shoulder. No, it's going too far now. Come on. Anyway, move on. Yeah, so that's the maddest thing I've seen. Sorry.
Have you ever thought about doing something on stage but thought it might be a risk, and then you hear stories like this and you go,
I've never thought about doing that.
No, I would. I'd have other questions if you thought about doing that. But
today's the day.
Also, it would be really, really odd if I was like, you know what? I saw that happen and I think it was great. And I think I want to do that too.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Enough bands. There's not enough bands taking shits on stage, is there? Let's be honest. Apart from all six of Raiders' songs tomorrow. So.
Yeah. Well, right. So obviously Nervous, you got a new album out recently.
Yeah, a new album called The Evil One.
Ooh, scary. Sounds scary.
Yeah, really scary.
Is it scary? Sounds scary.
It's terrifying. You listen to it and you feel scared instantly. No, it's not scary at all.
Oh.
We just called it The Evil One and gave it a metal album cover just for a laugh.
So it's not proclaiming that you are evil. It's not proclaiming that you're into evil things.
I mean, no.
Ooh, didn't sound sure. Yeah, imagine you just go, oh, all right, I've killed a couple of people.
You got me, I'm evil, fair enough. We just nicked it off Rocky Erickson. He has an album called The Evil One. And I thought, that's a cool name for an album.
What? You can't just go, oh, they've done that, that's cool.
The thing is, that is literally what art and music is, but no one else admits it. People just nicking stuff off anyone else.
That's like...
Well, yeah, but also, yeah. Don't tell them.
Don't tell everyone.
Shut up, man, he can hear you. Put the mic down if you're going to...
So you if you put an album out called Queen's Greatest Hit...
Oh,
that's embargoed. You weren't supposed to actually announce
that's
that.
Not a bad idea, though, is it? For like a punk band to do something like that. Queen's Great... The best of the Beatles.
Taylor Swift, Essentials.
Nice, yeah. Sorry, I'm just
working
a giant...
We're just naming albums, are we?
Yeah, I'm just working out... I could use this to make Raiders better. Go on.
One of the comments about The Evil One, because the album artwork's like pretty metal. It's like a skull made up of like loads of decaying buildings. And one of the comments on the first single was, the carpet doesn't match the drapes. And I was like, well... Yeah. That's a good thing, actually.
Yeah.
And I can't qualify that with any reason why it's a good thing, but it is.
And that's that. But there must be like other weird fucking reviews or comments and stuff that have stuck with you over the years.
Surely there's some Germans who have been, no offense to any Germans, but they are the most blunt people when it comes to like music reviews and stuff.
They don't care about your feelings.
I once sat in on an interview where I was watching the singer from Funeral for a Friend talk to a German reviewer, and the guy said to him, so your new album, you like it, yes? Right? And Matt said, yeah, I love it. And the guy went, what? Really? Das ist nicht gut. Das ist nicht gut.
A very good friend of mine, who I won't name because they're playing this festival, had a German compliment of a similar nature, where someone walked up to them and said, oh, you just played upstairs. Like, yeah.
Here we go. I love the first sentence.
I absolutely love your music. And they're like, thanks. I hate your voice.
Yes! I fucking love the Germans. Fair play to them. Yeah.
That's the German compliment right there.
Yeah. Another one was, I like your band very much. Live, not so much. Oh, uh-oh. Shit.
They tell you how it is, though. They just sugarcoat it in a weird way.
Just straight out blunt, innit? What's the weirdest review you've ever had or come across your band?
I don't know. I don't know if I should say, because it came out a couple of days ago.
Name and shame.
I think sometimes people just listen to the lyrics of the songs and they decide what it's about, which is part of what enjoying music is, right? You can listen to a song and be like, oh, I think this is about this. But then when you start writing it down and claiming that is what it's about, that gets a bit weird.
Yeah.
So I think reading some stuff and being like, that song is not about that, mate. I don't know where you've got that, but that's an exciting take on it. And I'm glad that you're here and I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Nice.
But yeah, people just completely missing the point, I think is the weirdest thing. But that's fine.
Yeah. That is the music industry
in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, to be honest.
One time we got a review that said it looked like we were out past our bedtimes. And I'm
how
like,
long ago was that?
Well, not too long ago.
That might be a compliment.
Yeah, maybe. Some people call us Vervus. Some people call us Burvus. So yeah, it's the attention
to detail.
That's just
dyslexia, though, like, isn't it? It's not a bad review. It's just... Can't spell.
Well, while we have you here, I wanted to bring up a few things. Obviously, you've been in a lot of different bands over the years. You've got a lot of projects on the go sometimes.
Yes.
How is that like to manage? Because I'm sure there's many people who are like diehard fans of yours who are struggling to keep up with all the project releases and everything you've done. For you, is it just kind of working with loads of different people is quite refreshing sometimes and you can move on to different things? Or
yeah, for sure. I think like collaborating with people and doing different projects, it like expands your ability to do different stuff and like influence, like the influences different projects have had on each other as well is like an exciting part of that. In terms of how do I keep up with it, if people who listen to my music find it difficult to keep up with, try making it. It is dreadful. It's an awful experience. No, it's great. It's awesome. And I've been so lucky to be able to have done so much and like seeing like so many of those bands who are not involved with anymore go from strength to strength as well is awesome. And
is there ever a headache when you're writing something? You think, oh, does this fit this? Is this something else? Like, how do you...
I tend to write with a project in mind. Okay. So I'll sit down and be like, I'm writing a Nervous song or whatever it is that I'm doing. I'm only playing two bands at the moment, Nervous and Super Milk, but yeah, I don't tend to write for Super Milk. I just turn up and play guitar and smile. So that's nice.
Nice. Can anybody nice beat that? Is anybody in more than two bands? Surely. Kyle, you're in about 500 bands, surely. There you go. Can anybody beat Kyle? 500 bands? 501. But yeah.
But obviously, you've been on the podcast with us a few times before.
Yeah.
We recorded with you with Milk Teeth
yeah.
a few summers ago. And obviously, during the whole pandemic, it was announced that Milk Teeth had parted ways and the band had ended. There was a really emotional post by Becky online.
Yeah.
I just kind of wanted to get a quick insight into that from you, because it seemed like at that time the band were going really strong, and then it kind of came to a shocker a lot of people that it was called a day.
Yeah, I think it just got it came kind of to a natural close. I think it, you know, it was obvious, like I was only in Milk Teeth for about a year, so I can't speak so much to it, but I think like it just got to a point where I think especially with the pandemic, it seemed like a good point to wrap it up, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously that time you just released an album that you'd all been sitting on for a while. What was that kind of just thought process? Did you have many conversations with Becky about it, or was it just kind of her decision?
Yeah, we spoke about it. I think like it was a difficult one, because it was like we didn't know what was going to happen. We had a tour booked. We were thinking like that was probably going to go ahead. Obviously, then the pandemic happened. We didn't know whether it was going to be rescheduled or not. And I think at the point where that happened, it was just like, I think that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a favorite memory from the Milk Teeth days?
Yeah. I think probably the Reading and Leeds sets were a lot of fun. Mm. Also, probably I'd say the Pup Tour and the Lattice Butte Tour. They were like two of my favorite tours I've ever done. So, nice. Yeah. Those were great.
Nice.
Nice.
Was there any moments with Milk Teeth when you were like, or nervous, I guess, where you're like, how the fuck have we managed this? How have we pulled this off?
Literally any time that I get to play on stage, I feel like that.
Nice. What? Somebody's looking at me? I can't believe it.
Why are they doing that? But yeah, no, it's like even things like playing here today is amazing. We played with Nervous played with Pup last night, which is incredible. They're like old pals. Haven't seen them since 2019 either. So basically everything that we get to do, that there's people who want to listen to it and support us is the best.
Nice.
So yeah. And I think like the pandemic, as ongoing as it is in some ways, like that it's put a lot of stuff into perspective for a lot of people about not taking those things for granted as much. So
nice. I'm sure it's been a nice kind of closure in a lot of ways for other things, and you kind of get to appreciate a lot of other things a bit more these days.
Definitely
That's cool. So like with all those bands as well though, like I'm sure it must be kind of hard to just put some different creativity in what and how you see visions and stuff, because some bands it's kind of your vision, you're kind of the main vocal point of that, but others you're just joining in as maybe a guitarist or drawing in different elements of it. So like, is it just, do you think too much about it, or at the time is it just like, yeah, that sounds fun, that's what I want to do?
I think all different bands have different dynamics. Like there's different ways that people like to work, and then it's just a case of sort of fitting in where works best for everyone else, really. Like I think, like, I've been in bands where I've been the main songwriter, I've been in bands where I've not had any input on the songs. Sometimes I just fill in, sometimes I just drive the van.
Yeah, do you ever feel like you want to go, don't do that though? Like when you're not the songwriter and they're writing a song, you're like, yeah, that's good, but
I actually don't. No. I actually think that kind of thing, like, I find it depends really on like whether it's welcome or not. If it's not welcome, then I don't mind shutting up and playing what I'm told, to be honest, because that's what I'm there for. But if it is welcome, then having input on stuff and being collaborative is like probably my favorite thing about writing and that process.
Nice.
But obviously, like, different people have different things, especially with like bands like Milk Teeth, where I joined up after maybe about 6 years of them having been a band. It was like I was happy to do whatever it was. And then did Funeral Shakes, where I didn't write anything, just play guitar. That was sick. Warriors, I just play guitar. But yeah, I quite like that. It takes the pressure off. Because if anyone says, oh, that song's shit, I'm like, well, that's nothing to do with me.
Oh, it is.
I just work here.
Here's a question then. Have you ever like gone to jam with a band or anything like that, and you thought, oh, this might be cool, and you get there and you're like, oh, fuck this.
This is dog shit.
Yeah, but it would be really unfair for me to say.
That's true, yeah.
We won't name and shame, but just want to know if that's happened.
But it was Idols. It was an Idols. Can't really answer that. Yeah, who would be the dream collaborator for you? Who would you?
That's a really difficult question.
Sorry,
I didn't come here to be asked difficult questions. It's fucking 10 a.m.
What's your favorite dance move then?
Dance move? Oh, I don't know any names of them.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
No, I think favorite collaborator. Well, I think like I love Bob Villain. Bob Villain is one of my favourite artists that exists at the moment.
Class.
Petrol Girls. Fresh. Basically just my mates. My dream collaborators are my mates. That's it.
Nice.
What's your favourite dance move then?
I can't believe you've got a favourite. I said that as a joke. Mine is one that Philip Jenkins taught me, the former drummer of Kids in Glass Houses, right? And he goes like this. Be careful. You might all have to come. No, anyway. Right, so we start here with that. It's that, right? It's that simple one. Oh, the tongue goes across the mouth as if that is going all the way through. Yeah, but Philip does it fantastically.
Wow.
What's happened to my life where I'm here talking about my favourite dance move with Morgan from Cardiff?
When you asked me that question, I instinctively wanted to name a dance move and then realised that I don't know any names of any dance.
The first thing that came to my head was Foxtrot.
Foxtrot?
That's a whole dance, you fucking idiot. It's not a dance move.
Robot. Peter Crouch.
Anything. Just stop this question. Whatever. Just pick dancing. One, move on. Like.
Square dancing? Macarena.
Macarena.
Flossing.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Here we go. We're naming them all of you. All right.
Here's a question.
I like an Irish jig.
Yeah.
Here's a question for everyone in the room. Is headbanging a dance move?
No.
You're... No! Shut up! Get on with it! Fuck shit! Ask him a tiny question! Ask everybody tiny questions! What's your favourite dance move? What's your favourite shoot? No, carry on.
You're disgusted then.
I knew we would descend into chaos at some point.
Of course, all of these are going to descend into chaos. But getting a little bit back on track, we mentioned hummus. I'm going back to the hummus.
Because everybody wants to know the hummus stories.
Have you ever tried Riders to put something mad on there just to see if how far you can get away with.
Nice. Yeah, but not in... I think, like, right, there's this thing, right, where people think that artists put mad things on riders just for fun. And I'd like to just corroborate that that is true. basically, everyone is just trying to see what they can get away with.
100%.
And it seems reasonable, but you can make it seem reasonable and then add another stupid thing every time you make a rider until it becomes unreasonable. See, but if the original rider was all of that stuff, it would be unreasonable, right?
Yeah.
But no, we don't really ask for anything unreasonable. Monster Munch.
Rock and roll.
Monster Munch, a bit of spinach. That's about it, really.
It's not the kilo of cocaine we were expecting, to be honest. Yeah. Spinach.
There's some interesting etiquette.
Unless
about...
you pop by, it doesn't really have the same effect as cocaine, does it? Spinach.
There's some interesting etiquette about riders, though. You can't ask for cigarettes on riders. That's the thing, right?
I never tried that. I don't know.
No, you
can't. I don't know why I would.
It's just not done. Some people like socks, not to eat.
Or smoke. Give me a Wilson. I love a good Wilson.
A big fat Wilson.
A big fat Wilson. Or Kappa. I like a Kappa sock to smoke. What the fuck has happened here? I had an ex-manager once who you used to fill out the riders for a laugh, right? Basically, he did it just to try and embarrass us with the promoters who would come in. So on one rider, we had a pair of marigold gloves. A small white t-shirt, none of us was small at the time. A used copy of Razzle. It said used copy. For people who don't know what Razzle is, it's a porn magazine. I nearly went back to my childhood and called it a cock mag.
What?
A magazine for your cock, innit? It's a cock mag.
A cock mag?
You've never heard of a porn being called a cock mag?
Nah, never, ever. Not in my life.
I'm not alone in this. I know this. Has anybody ever heard of a porn mag? Yes, Scott! Yes! Not alone. I thought I was going fucking mad then.
Oh.
And the last thing was a signed picture of the actor Jack Klugman, who plays Quincy Emmy.
I've never heard of that. I don't know what
you've
that
never
is.
Heard of Quincy?
No, never.
Don't you've started him off on something.
You must have had a day job when I didn't have a day job.
I assure you I did not.
Oh, didn't you not? You should know Quincy then. You definitely should know Quincy.
But have you tried your luck with anything? Have you tried, what's one item that you have really
gotten? What kind of a question is that? I'm married.
Not in jail. I'm going to get us cancelled.
Yeah. People are walking away like this. Get the kid out of here. Get the kid out of here. It's descending into much, much worse than we were expecting. And I've listened to 2 episodes of that nonsense.
We should have a warning.
No, to be honest, the most that we ever try and get away with is asking for a big bottle of spirits, because that seems like, you know, the big bands get that, right?
Yeah.
If we ask for that and we get that, that's a win.
Nice.
It's a small win, but you've got to celebrate them all.
Yeah. And you can celebrate by getting super pissed after as well. So.
Yeah, literally.
Class.
Yeah, or just leaving it there.
I'm trying to think of other bands' riders that are weird.
Well, what did I see the other day? I think someone asked for a puppy, didn't they?
A live puppy.
A live puppy to play
what,
with.
What, for the day or for to keep or for food?
Or to smoke?
To play with.
Oh, cost of living crisis. If I see a stray dog now, straight in. Don't fucking, it's all a bit of a, ooh, not my fault, Boris's fault. I've got
dog. He's out now, yeah. I'm in apparently.
Boris out, Morgan in. What's the other one say? Morgan Richards for Prime Minister.
Wow.
Is Boris gone now?
Well, yeah, I heard that this morning he announced that he is going to resign today at some point. But what's he going to do for work? Come
who's
on.
Who's excited for the next psychopath they put in power?
Yeah.
Theresa May again!
Hey, I'm not a psychopath!
Well, I don't know you, but...
It's for the best. It's for the best.
Yeah, it would definitely be worse if you were Prime Minister Mogg, wouldn't it?
It wouldn't be that bad, I don't think. I think it'd be much more of a laugh.
You've gone mad.
He's gone mad with power.
You've gone mad with power.
Someone's
turned up with a cardboard sign and you've gone mad.
Where is my crown?
30 people turned up to see my podcast and now I think I'm the king of the world. I remember being at the beginning of Morgan's campaign trail. It was very strange.
Yeah, he started at day one of 2003 and then
day three.
I wonder if we can get him as Prime Minister by the end of the day. Hashtag no, let's leave it because we don't want that.
Let's leave that. One thing we do like to talk about on this podcast from time to time, though, is just hearing experiences people have had with mad bands or anything like that. So obviously, you've been at loads of festivals, you've done loads of tours. Is there anyone you've come across with that you've either been surprised by in a good or bad way? Ooh. Have you met one of your musical idols? Has there been anything like that that's really stuck with you and that you've got like a bit of a story behind?
So I used to be in a metalcore band, which I don't talk about very often, but we toured with Joey Jordison's other band, Scar the Martyr.
Okay. Oh.
And it was such an awesome tour, but unfortunately, it started the day that he got kicked out of Slipknot.
Oh.
So we turned up at the first venue in Wolverhampton and they were like, you can't go in the venue until we finish sound checking and you also can't be in your dressing room. So we just stood around in the car park waiting for Scar the Martyr to finish.
Was he just in there just fucking sound checking and crying at the same time? You can't come in and see Joey's fucking...
Yeah, it was bad. And then I think like, obviously it was super tense, but then Joey came up to us on the last day of tour.
We don't need the drummer, do you? Looking for a drummer going forward?
Yeah. But then like introduced himself and bought a t-shirt and a CD. He tried to buy a CD, but I was like, we don't have CDs. Sorry, mate.
Oh, look, I don't want your day to get worse, right? But we haven't got CDs.
Joey Jordison, meeting Joey Jordison and touring with Joey Jordison, even though we didn't really chat, was like peak madness. Because I remember seeing Joey Jordison playing drums for Metallica at that same download where the guy broke his legs during Slayer. So that was pretty mad. I think like when you find yourself in proximity to actual legends, like I think like doing Reading and Leeds and like being in the, you know, the backstage bit and just like Dave Grohl wandering around, you're like, that's pretty mad.
Yeah.
Even though I think Dave Grohl's borderline abhorrent. But, you know, that's just me.
Ooh.
That's an unpopular opinion.
That's not the opinion of Sapnin Podcast.
Do not tag Dave Grohl.
Don't tag
Dave
Grohl in this.
Leave it, die. Leave it.
The thing is, right, no one's that nice.
Oh, I know. Ooh, no. Oh, do you know what?
Yeah.
Secretly, it is the opinion of Sapnin Podcast. I agree. You cannot be that nice.
Only
but I did see it, like, other... I think it was other Reading, you're saying. So I was waiting in catering at Leeds, and it was me and the other members of my band, and a boy ran in, right? Topless young kid ran in. He ran over to us. He's like, I just jumped over the fence, and now I'm backstage. And I was like, shut the fuck up and stop telling people then, otherwise you won't be for much longer. Right? So he's like, oh, yes, the black guy, I'll sit by you. And we were like, don't sit by us. They'll think you're with us. We'll all get kicked out now, you shit. All of a sudden, Dave Grohl and that giant man from Queens of the Stone Age, what's his name? Josh Om, right? The giant ginger lad.
The giant man from Queens of the Stone Age.
he's about 7'9".
He is, to be fair.
He's massive. Those two walk past, and then fucking Boyo snuck in, right? Shoots up, and he's like, Dave Grohl! Like, bear in mind, Caitlin's about this big, right? And he goes, Dave Grohl! Oh my God! And I was like, shut up, man! Now Dave Grohl thinks you were with us, you fucking prick! And he ran up, and Dave was absolutely fucking horribly nice to him.
Disgusting.
As he fucking is. You are right, you cannot be that nice. I've never seen him not be nice.
No.
Weird. Are you trying to say Dave Grohl is the pretender?
Anyway, thank you very much. It's been the last ever Sapnin Podcast. See how you feel by there.
Come on.
I feel like that every fucking week, right? For those of you who don't know, he does that with whoever we have on the podcast. He does that with his song titles every week. And I forget until he goes, oh. And then just about to say him. And I go, oh, for fuck's sake. And then I do exactly what you did, but not as loud as you do it. So,
It's nice to know I get the best of you.
They're turning, Mog. They're fucking turning on you.
I'm Prime Minister.
One by one, yeah.
One by one. Oh.
Morgan out.
Boris in! Boris in! Oh, imagine that, Sampling Podcast with...
this dreadful two-party system we're in, Boris or Morgan.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see that, Paul.
Morgan Richards, the Keir Starmer of podcasts.
Fuck yeah.
Don't really know where we go with this.
What have we got? We got 4 minutes left.
Have we?
We have.
Fuck, I can't believe it. Class.
So I think it's probably a time we talk about what everything else Nervous has got going on while we sum this up properly. So obviously you mentioned new album. Tell us a little bit more about that and what else is kind of in the pipeline for the band.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So the new record is out on Get Better Records. Came out on the 24th. It's fucking sick. It's the best thing we've ever done. Obviously, I'm going to say that, but it actually is. It's much more like, I don't know, what you like.
I love that because I know exactly what you mean by.
Well, it's what you like. I can tell it's what you like, yeah. And you'll love it. You'll all love it. So
this is the best selling of a record. Carry on. I'm in love it.
Yeah,
I love it already, and I haven't even heard it. So carry on, nice.
But then we're off on tour in September with a band called the Dead Notes, doing the UK and the EU. And then yeah, remains to be seen what else beyond that. But yeah, go and buy a new record because it's what you like and you'll love it.
It's what you will like.
That should be a fucking tagline. That you should do an advert.
It should be a hype sticker. You only go in a record shop and it's like, oh, it contains this song and this song. You're like, I've never heard those songs. If it just said, this is what you like, then you'd buy it.
You will definitely like this. Underneath God. God said you'd like this. You can't. Surely if we write a quote by God on your album, like all Christians have to buy it then. Surely.
Maybe. I played bass in a Christian rock band once.
What?
But I didn't know it was a Christian rock band. This sounds fake.
Kumbaya, my lord, Kumbaya.
I thought they were just a sort of rock band, right? And my mate was like, "Oh, do you mind filling in on bass?" I was like, "Absolutely no worries." And I was playing this song, and it was like, "Miracle Baby."
Uh
oh. And I was like. Miracle Baby is Jesus. So I was like, and suddenly I felt really uncomfortable.
Wow. What a way to find out. Miracle Baby.
I just thought, it was like, it's a miracle, baby.
No.
The wow. Miracle Baby. Well, I think that's a good place to
They
end.
Were called Crossbeam as well, so it should have been more obvious.
What were they called?
Crossbeam.
Crossbeam.
Like a beam of the cross. They're all absolutely lovely, but none of them told me that they're a Christian rock band.
Well, of course they're lovely. It's literally the rule thing, isn't it? Be nice or whatever. I don't know the rules.
Before we wrap this up and get into any trouble, is there anything else you'd like to mention to the lovely people here today?
Nope.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Thank you, Em.
Are you done? Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming to our second ever live podcast.
Yes.
We all really appreciate this very much. I never thought it was going to happen, even when it was confirmed, because I kept saying, Morgan, I'm not doing that. So,
and I was like, yes, we are.
The fact that we're here now and you've come to join us means the absolute fucking world to us. Thank you very much.
Very much.
If you've got social media, and you have, I know, it's 2022. Give us a follow at SappeningPod. That's at SAPPENINPOD. SAPPENINPOD.
And then we'll be back here tomorrow at 10 a.m. with Tree's boss, James Scarlett.
Oh, the boss.
So that's going to be a big one.
The boss.
And then we're back on Saturday at 10 a.m. with St. Agnes. So come and have a laugh with us. Thank you very much. Enjoy your trees and have a wonderful weekend.
Sapnin! Oh, thank you.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast!
Yes! Woo! Yes! That was M. Foster of Nervous. What a fucking great time we had at 2000 Trees. The whole weekend was brilliant. But this was really a particular highlight for us because every time we've spoken to M, we've had a fucking great, great laugh and a great time. Some of the best stories that you hear from guests, whether they're in the biggest band or the smallest bands. It's fucking brilliant. I love this. I love them. Check out fucking Nervous today.
Yes, they have a new album out right now called The Evil One. It's very, very good. And they released a brand new song, Micro Smiling, that's only available on Bandcamp. So if you do love your bands, go over to Bandcamp. Sean's band Raiders is a part of that as well. And they actually make some money off their music instead of the 0.0000007 pence. If you're lucky for a stream and all that. Nervous tour dates coming very soon as well. So check, keep an eye out for that in 2023. And we're really excited to see what's next for the band.
Yes, very, very much so. Yeah, imagine bands making money off the thing they've worked hard on and recorded and paid for. Imagine if bands could somehow make some sort of money from their actual fucking output. You know, like a baker makes money off baked goods. They get stuff that's a couple of pence and then they bake it, all of a sudden they charge you a couple of pounds and we're fucking paying for it. Imagine if it could be like that, but for fucking music that we all fucking love and listen to, you robbing bastards. Fucking stop stealing music. All of us. Stop going on Spotify. Ah! Sorry, I've gone mad.
True, very true. But getting to do these live podcasts at 2000 Trees and download and just taking over festival stages this year was a true highlight for me personally. If you haven't yet, go back and check out episode 198. That was our one with St. Agnes at 2000 Trees. And we had the boss of the festival, James Scarlett, on a festival episode. And he also did the full one with him for episode 179. So do encourage you to go back and check those out. Hopefully we'll be able to do a lot more of these kind of things in 2023, and there's a couple of secrets behind the scenes of things we're working on. Is there anything that comes to mind for you, Sean, that we hope that we get to do over the next 12 months?
More live ones. I think I enjoyed them very much, even though they were kind of just plonked on us last minute. They were very, very fun. Enjoyed that a lot. Just to do more of these in person, I think, because all the ones we've done in person over the last couple of months have been lots and lots of fun. It just translates better. And even, especially if we've got guests that we've never met or we don't really know, I find it's easier to break the ice in person than it is over Zoom. If you go back and listen to last week's Christmassy episode with Matthew Goss of Bros fame, of 80s and 90s pop fame, you can hear in the beginning it's a bit slow because he's unsure of us, whereas in public we've normally spent a good 3 to 5 minutes with them beforehand just getting our stuff set up, so they kind of get the vibe. But yeah, last week's episode was great. I just want to do more episodes in the flesh, I guess. A couple of highlights for me this year were we had Pierce the Veil not long ago. That was great to see them in public again. In the flesh again, I mean. Well, I couldn't believe we had Matt Goss, to be honest. St. Agnes was fun. Nixon Newell, aka WWE's Tegan Knox. Fucking hell, bloody hell, Sean. Got winkies on the brain there. Who's now back in WWE. That's fucking awesome. She was lots of fun.
There's loads we've done. Again, to go to Benji Webb's house in Benji Webb's castle in Newport. Yeah. That was nice. Yeah, there's loads of them. I'm going through my book now. Brent Smith from Shinedown. That was a lot of fun. Steel Panther were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Download was a lot of... Shut up, I am finished. Download. Download was fun. We Came as Romans was fun. Trixie and Katia was amazing. Two fucking... Josh Weller was great. The comedian Josh Weller. Matt Tucker was great this year. There's so many. So fucking many that we've done. We can only hope that this gets bigger and better next year. Honestly, we genuinely believe this has got bigger and better this year. And a lot of it has to do with the support from our Patreon. Patreon.com/happening. I know we go on about it every fucking week, but literally it is our only way of keeping this fucking podcast going. So please check it out. If you've listened to three or more episodes, you are contractually obliged. It says somewhere in the Spotify small print that you must join our Patreon. Don't check it up. It's pointless checking it up because this print is so small. You'll actually might go blind from looking at the small print.
No. Don't do that.
Because, yeah, so it'd be nice, yeah, if you could check out patreon.com, because if you're listening to this on Spotify or any music on Spotify, you're robbing the people you're listening to, you thieving bastards. Second Spotify rant of the podcast.
Literally, but we do appreciate every share, like, we comment, review, and it all helps. But if you could check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin, it helps us more than you know. It helps us get new equipment that we're kind of looking into and keep everything as much as it can up to date. It helps us travel to these venues to kind of record stuff in person. The list goes on and on. So anything would be truly appreciated. patreon.com/sapnin. With that being said, if you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we need to thank. And as always, we're going to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community, aka the best people on the planet.
Wow. Thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwewe, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Kat Besson, Dana Lasnova, Jenny Robertson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, M. Evans Roberts, Stephen Aston, Caroline Robertson, Kate Puttack, Louis Cook, Danny Eaton, Martina McManus, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Kelly Cannon, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Emily Perry, Craig Aris, Gary White, Kalila Keane, Adam Parslow, Ollie, Sappy New Year to all you goffs and emos, Amesbury. Nice run, Ollie. Josh, which celebrity is all ready for a cereal? Reese Witherspoon, crisp. Thank you very much. Alice Wood, Reese Boring, Kate Stevenson. Don't laugh at it, you'll only encourage him. Thank you very much. Kyle, I bought Mariah Carey something to secure a door, but she doesn't want a lock for Christmas. David Smith. And last by no means, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to all of those people. As Morgan said, check out the description of this podcast where there's loads of other fucking names of the supporters of this Patreon. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to everyone. Please have a good one. Please try not to die. And that's it, really.
Yeah. Thank you for an amazing 2022. See you in 2023. And have a fucking laugh. Whee!
Sapnin!
This is Sapnin!
Oh, God's sake.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.